Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light, and I want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at resonanttruth.com. Today on the Zolk'in Count is called White Galactic Wizard, and it is the eighth day of the Blue Hand Wave Spell, and it is the resonant moon day eight. And now I'm going to throw all that out the window because I know I'm podcasting way too late in the day for anyone to hear it on that particular descriptive moment, so probably you're listening on Blue Solar Eagle Monday, the 18th of January, which would be the resonant moon day nine. Somehow it seems important to point out that I always run late now when I am in this mode, and I think it's because Mercury is in the pre-shadow phase of retrograde, and I can't not observe that because it affects me so deeply. So it kind of explains how this weekend we just went through, I thought it was pretty gnarly. And one of the themes you can look for in the retrograde, if you're willing to, if you're affected by it, and this resonates, as we say, then what I see is that we are immediately hit by a wave of things repeating themselves from the past. And the way we react to that is wanting to sever ties. And it's sort of an induction into the retrograde process that will go on for weeks with some, you know, really initial turbulence. The entry portal is a rough road and has these themes of like, oh, this is back, like something is rising from the grave, things that we put behind us or put to bed are in fact returning, and it's hard to communicate. And I found on the weekend that I don't have anyone to break up with, but I fully want to like break up with my dogs and break up with my friends and break up with my, you know, people passing through my life, like, okay, I'm done experiencing you, goodbye. So that's pretty intense to navigate. And I think it dovetails into the blue hand experience, which is a little cold and clinical in the head, kind of in the head, judgmental. Again, that there's an eye in the hieroglyph. Blue eagle has an eye, but it's clearly a bird's eye. You know, you can see the beak, but the eye that's in blue hand is like a wide open eye, taking everything in, responding to sensory awareness by computing things with our brain. Blue eagle is more of a penetrating visionary. This bird's eye is the eye of us when we're in flight from above. But the blue hand eye within the hieroglyph, I think, is just this reminder of being in our head, being watchful of what's happening around us, but always analyzing and synthesizing what we see, what we feel. And that's not very loving. I mean, it's not not loving. It's just the emphasis is not on feeling empathy. The emphasis is on like feeling something clinically with my hand, touch it. Can I change it with my hand? Can I like hold it and contain it with my hand? maybe some healing, but not a lot of, I just feel like the hands and the mind really busy us in this time, and we lose other ways of perceiving and ways of expressing ourselves. That's happening to me. It's happening to me where I feel intolerant, meaning kind of analytical, cold, and in my head, and not willing to get all crazy and emotive or stop what I'm trying to do and accomplish. I'm listening, but maybe I have to keep my hands busy while I'm listening, or I feel like I'm wasting time. Those are some experiences I'm having. This idea, just quickly, of the next few days, I think, can teach us a lot about our history lessons, American history, because we will be moving into Trump's exit from the White House right at the height, the highest peak of the wave spell that's named for him. So during inauguration, he will be, again, the wave will be breaking, but his last day in office is a planetary day, yellow planetary star, the highest peak of the blue hand wave spell ends up being, you know, not his peak experience of being president, but this last moment of even being seated in that office, the office of the president. So this wave spell has shown us, featuring him as this sort of weird luminary of the Blue Hand tribe, being silenced, which is good. That's more authentic for him to be silenced than to have this really perverse way of inciting upset, both in his followers that love him and the people that follow him, with a deep reactionary distaste for him, but just that foment that we've had for years, having that cease at the front end of his wave spell seems like a divine intervention on his behalf, you know, like him hitting bottom in his addiction to social media. And it's not that he looks like he's ready to turn over a new leaf and try recovery, but it was sort of what you can't do for yourself will be done for you, or whatever the phrase is. So I just find that interesting. If we use the spectacle of Blue Hand as this homecoming of Donald Trump in his own tribe, it's just interesting to observe. You can observe yourself. You can observe friends, people you love that you care more about, and not just, you know, famous people. But some famous people have a lot of cultural influence, and those ones are, it's kind of intriguing to me when we pass through their time. Yeah, we'll have the White World Bridger wave spell, not immediately. We're going to have yellow sun and then red Skywalker and then white World Bridger, but that will be Joe Biden's wave spell. So it's just another figurehead that we can pay attention to when we move through their time, partly because the figureheads deserve a little bit of this like extra witnessing, or they just have such an outsized influence that they infect the like energy field of the population with their disorder or their control or their astrological overlay in terms of natural time. Just like Blue Hand, the shadow energy of this time is to just be a know-it-all, to have intolerance, to think you're better than other people because you're so good at figuring things out. That whole hand-eye coordination allows you to assess and take control and manipulate and all of that is something we might be wrestling with right now. But okay, I knew this would happen. I want to be podcasting. I want to be thinking about natural time, and my words don't work that well sometimes around retrograde, and I hate to just make a cop out, but it's hard to speak, to articulate to
have a platform rather than just being silent and inward. Blue Hand is so dry. Let me try to squeeze out the mysticism, the things that feel magical about the time we're in, when I can't get that from Blue Hand. It's funny because there's this whole subtext that my older daughter is a Blue Hand who was raised by me, who just got increasingly more preoccupied with, how to live the most magical life, most invested in the unseen world. And she doesn't believe in God. She doesn't follow any kind of spiritual dictates. She has no interest in that. And she's a blue overtone hand. So I think it's related. The godless people, and it doesn't mean that they're bad. It just means, like, God, if you don't believe in something unseen and precious or an oversight that's spiritual in nature, and you don't ponder that much of the day, you don't have an investment in that, you can't look to that for support, you can't look to that to offer gratitude for what you receive, like, you can fill that absence in your life with so much noise. So the Blue Hand people that I know, public figures and in my family and in relationships over the years, are filling that part where there's an absence of spiritual devotion or belief with information. And so it's just a really busy, gluttonous time for overthinking and overconsuming thought bubbles, i.e. internet information and the newspapers, and, what's delivered in media. So that's taking over for me as well. But I just was saying, with that aside now, what can we find that's reliably magical and supportive of us who care to follow this so that we can live in an imaginal place where we're connected to all kinds of threads of divinity? And I think the resonant moon that we're in, day 8 or 9, is a part of that. It's a really psychic time. You can trust that if you feel like you know what someone's thinking or doing far away from you, you might be right, more right now than usual. You can play with that faith or trust in psychic ability and psychic communication, because the resonant moon is sort of the peak experience for that kind of a practice, the practice of trusting that what you sense is real and that you can read other people. Maybe you can also read pulses of activity, like which way is the culture going to turn. Maybe you can get a read on that as well in the resonant time. Mostly, it's a peaceful time. I have to interject. Like, I did not find the last 2 days peaceful. I can't sleep. And interpersonal communication with a couple of people has been really difficult, like fights, confrontations, and I'll be like, oh, I'm a storm, but I also am just like, no, we're just fraught right now, and how can this be a reflection of the resonant moon? I don't know that it is. If you're experiencing anything that feels like inner turmoil and combat, or it's expressed outward, or it's expressed at you, I think that's just all retrograde. And being up in our head, that absence of grounding and rooting and not being in our hearts, that's what I'm describing about Blue Hand. I should sell us all on what humans have invented and created, like this just vast, endless empire of gadgets for every aspect of life and beyond. I mean, it's so perverse. It's like a sci-fi novel just living in reality. There is so much stuff, patents that lead to inventions of minuscule to massive items, just things. That's all Blue Hand. I don't mean that literally. It's not all from Blue Hand people exclusively. It's just that's the concept of Blue Hand. Like being so intelligent and so capable of getting your hands involved in what you can think or invent that you can produce, you can make, you can manifest all of these things. That's Blue Hand. So a way to, I mean, I'm just bouncing all around, but I'm just trying to survive here. Like the way to get through the rest of Blue Hand, which has so much devotion to something that might feel overdone, overblown, like in yourself, you don't need to make more things. The world doesn't need more things, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, there's two things that are coming up for me about this wave spell that are helpful. It's like really good if you want to get things done. I am in the middle of a rebuilding project where I have so many tasks on my to-do list every day that I rely on this Blue Hand wave spell to just power through a bunch of it, you know, hit the list. And I'm guided by Blue Hand, so I'm drawn to that kind of an experience anyhow. But Blue Hand, the wave spell, in a different moment, or you're a different person with a totally different experience listening, thank goodness, your hand experience can be all about like intimate touch. You know, it's COVID-19. Maybe you don't want to touch anyone that you've been trapped with for the last, you know, near year, or maybe you're isolated from everyone and you can't touch anybody. And of course, there's all this aversion to casual touch because we're trying to be safe. So Blue Hand isn't giving us that. That's what it also is. But you might find yourself accidentally creating it, you know, like, oh, I mean, I'm the queen of the dogs and, you know, I can always just pick up a smaller dog and hold them like a baby or a toddler and recognize like, okay, my hands now are orienting me to healing. Of course, hands-on healing of any kind would be really beneficial or sort of preferential right now. I really bounced around. The resonant moon allows us to be intuitive, and it's also sort of restful. I don't find that to be true, so I don't know why I would even say it aloud, but It is restful in some way as a tone, as the seventh tone of 13. It is a place of sort of the portal of quietude and connection between realms. And I think withdrawal into the retrograde inwardness that's being invited now is very much a mirror of the resonant moon. That the reason is like in a meditation is to get quiet so you can listen to the other kinds of sounds, the astral sounds. So I had this whole fantasy today because it's hard to talk like poetically about Blue Hand, the wave spell, and it's hard to talk during the retrograde entryway. And so I was like, what if I just like talk about the days that are coming up to remind everyone how we can look at days? So I'm going to start with Blue Solar Eagle. And there's this is like a key day. My mom and uncle are Blue Solar Eagle twins. My mom is the first in my family to be really devoted to natural time. It was called the Dream Spell when she started. It was a board game, just ludicrously. I mean, it was just like, you know, a very stark Dungeons and Dragons kind of game that looked also like I write like a sci-fi manual, like a manual for a spaceship. So Blue Solar Eagle is my mom, the originator in our family of this practice. I took it on sort of separate from her and have just gone full bore. Like, we're you know, we're both moving in the same direction, but she has this original language that I cannot stand. If you ever go on the Law of Time website, that's the original Arguellian language. It's, I don't understand why people have to sound like sci-fi biblical priests in this practice at all. Like, I can't deal with it. If you decode your birthday on my website, you get thrown into that language that Jose left us, and it's not mine. I think I just want to be more colloquial and casual Californian, but it is what I was given to start with. And, you know, the way I look at things is an evolution over a period of time, and until it's just much more a intimate and constant conversation between me and my daily experience. So let's just, again, that was a little like tiny side honoring to my mother, or my extreme exposure to Blue Solar Eagle, the concept, through being born from one. It makes sense that the day within the Blue Hand Wave Spell where we have all this intention and are trying to get our message heard to our creator, each one of us individually, like, hey, I just figured out my intention. It's really ripe inside me, and I'm just going to say it aloud because I want so much for it to come true, and you are the Almighty, so I'm making that request. It's a prayer. There's a bit of urgency. It's on fire. I'm on fire sharing this with you. That's the solar tones energy. And what we're sharing, what we're experiencing within this blue hand time where I told you about the eyeball, the eye, the wide open eye that's taking in, when we come to that moment, we're almost at the peak of the wave. We have all this reach towards the sky, towards the sun. Solar day is Blue Eagle. So there's that eyeball again, you know, as I thrust myself into the sky in this blue hand time, I'm really an eagle in flight with all that vision honed at the top of my mind. The highest part of my brain function is my Blue Eagle mind. And so I would say that this is why, you know, the fiery analytical mind of a blue hand person comes from showing how their wave spell is like it's like a diagnostic manual of what makes a blue hand person tick. When they are really on fire and when they really want to convey their desires, they are going to be at the very highest remove of their head, their mind, you know, just burning with thoughts, analysis, oversight, and not ever down in their like loins, groin, lower, you know. So that's how it might feel in Blue Solar Eagle. It's really separated out from our serpent self, our opposite serpent self. And then yellow planetary warrior. And there you go. If you were looking for a reason that Donald Trump, the blue hand, is so malevolent that he's constantly like questioning the validity of everything and the truth, and he's also spewing bullshit and all of that foment and discord and refusal to live in a place of resolution where there is peace and happiness, that is because the manifestation of Blue Hand, the person, Blue Hand, the wave spell, the highest point of the wave, the peak experience is Yellow Warrior. And you can just, it's just perfect, right, for the time we're in. Perfect for the time that we're in, that he's his highest point of manifestation is inciting war. I mean, I just want everyone listening to be like paying attention to the culture on Tuesday. What is that? That's like the eve of the new administration, the change of the inauguration, and the blue hand wave spell, and it's the manifestation of, you know, a battleground. What's that going to be like? I don't know. And then the inauguration itself, the spectral day that follows, red spectral earth, just the chaos of a spectral day, the undoing, the motion of everything collapsing and being in that way out of control. Like, that'll be interesting to see. I think that takes us to the, in theory, when I next podcast, but I podcast so slow and late that I just want to add that the crystal day to follow will be white crystal mirror. So we have a lot of interesting days this week for everything kind of winding down and changing of the guard, and all of this anticipation of conflict or further chaos. These days within the blue hand wave spell are pretty high strung. Blue solar eagle, this fiery in our head, detached from our, you know, physical body and floating into extreme, can be really visionary, but also just really like staring something down or being the predator bird. So that one, the fiery predator bird, followed by the manifestation of war, followed by the dissolution of a ceremony. I would say that the inauguration being on a red earth day is very touching, because that's a day of ceremony in this Mayan count. The ceremony would be like the readying for a larger ritual, which happens the next day, but just being in that, burning the incense, burning the sage, getting everything set, setting the energy. That's a nice way to have an inauguration. And then, so that's Wednesday, and then Thursday will be a white mirror day. That's also very intense. I'll talk more about it next time I talk here. Okay. Just all over the place. I'm so sorry, because we have retrogrades really frequently when you follow it the way I do, and when I follow it the way I do, talk about it here, but when you follow it the way I do, it's hard to talk. It's hard to talk for weeks and weeks. But it's mostly hard to talk moving in and out of the transit of Mercury retrograde, because it's a place, you know, I get acclimated. And then I don't really know that I want to come out the other end. We have lots of time in retrograde if you follow it this way. But remember, it's like a shift. Just we're in a blue lunar storm year, which just keeps reminding me to look at things as polarized. Like, oh, this one's black, this one's white. It doesn't mean black is bad or evil and white is pure and good. It just means they're different. This is a shadow and this is a light. And it's it means that I experience, part of what I'm getting at is that I experience life as it's either Mercury retrograde or it's not. It's really simple. And when it's not, I don't think about it. And when it is retrograde, I pay a lot of attention. And then that spills over here. And I pay attention to things like, well, I'm just not very good at my job, which is communicating right now. But I try. And I feel relieved, even though it's been hard to get to the microphone. I tell myself, as with a lot of things, when I get there, it's going to really help. Because if I haven't been clear enough, I don't know if it's relevant, it's been really difficult. So in case you don't feel like paying for or making contact for a reading of any kind from me, per my website, where you can check it out, what I do, I just want to say that what I repeat in every session is, if you feel apathetic or stuck, or like you're not going towards goals that you've had, or you can't come up with goals, or your joy quotient is so low, you are exactly normal right now. You are experiencing a pandemic. It's a form of incarceration. I mean, it's a lesser form, obviously, and it's a more fleeting form, but it is. We're just held in check. But I always felt that this calendar is useful when you have a lot of limitations in your life, because it's all imaginal, and it can be brought in through your imagination, and your imagination can expand infinitely, even if you're stuck physically, emotionally. So jump in. Thanks for listening. I'm Lisa Starr. I am another yourself. And in Mayan, we say, En La Cache.